I'm Dorothy Spencer, and these are poems from my book, See What Life Is Like Too. They are read by my friends and family. My book is published by Atchaby and is available for £6 from ctlly.cc. This is Adam reading Bait.
The sea bass that you caught off the pier kept you happy for a week. More, too. It came into your life struggling on the end of a hook. Silver and flashing in the August dusk, like the edge of a knife with the sun on it. I think, isn't that just the way that happiness comes, with a struggle, and then, flashing and wriggling, flailing and gasping, it goes. And it always goes, away, away it goes. A great big shining hook in its mouth.
This is Lorraine reading In Common.
Is this ever so difficult? More tricky than I thought. I have dreams of taking the fence between our gardens down and dancing together on the grass. I have dreams of knowing you better intimately, so that the way we laugh together becomes a secret. I remember lately the things that we have not been able to share, like dirt, sunrises, work and children. So tomorrow, it being the season, I will plant some sunflowers by the fence, and one day you will see their big heads, as yellow and sorrowful as it is possible to be, flowering at the height of your window.
This is Matthias reading See What Life Is Like.
See? See what life is like? See what it's fucking like?
We're in the front room, the TV's on, and Bill Gates is saying that actually, the world is getting better, not worse.
He's the worst of the lot of them. Absolute cunt. It's not fair. It's not fucking fair.
Life's not fair, I say.
Ha! No, and they don't fucking pay me enough either.
Yeah, well, if you get sacked, they definitely won't pay you enough.
Enough? Enough? Bill Gates is getting enough. 30 million a day is enough. He's got a trampoline room in his house. What do you think he does? He bounces around in there with all his money, that's what he does. With all his money flying about him like some fantastic rain. He probably laughs. He probably laughs and screams on his giant trampoline.
He draws a breath. He puts a can of beer on the table. He lifts his arms and he continues.
And Carlos Slim. And Jeff Bezos. Mark Zuckerberg. Warren Buffett. Laura, I've Googled them all. And every one is a philanthropist.
Well, I know what would really help the poor.
It's if you blew all them up, shot them all to pieces, and bounced them on their trampoline, screaming fucking Hosanna.
We all laugh about that and go on drinking our beers and thinking about the money and the trampolines. Wouldn't that be nice? Bounce, bounce, bounce. Then the TV changes and it's the weather. And it'll be raining tomorrow. Dad would have liked to go fishing. The sun on his face. Just for a bit.
I just can't. These people, I just can't.
This is Michelle reading May the Spirit Rise Up.
There was a chill breeze that day, so I wore a bra to the funeral. I didn't wear any pants, though. My dress came down to the ankles. And I saw the funeral director at the crematorium, looking at my arse, the continuous, uninterrupted line of cheek to thigh, enough to distract a man from the climax of the committal, a green curtain closing behind him to the tune of Soul Limbo.
This is Cassie reading Tin Roof.
Every mother has DDT in her breast milk now, but I still want you to be my baby daddy. And for us to watch my tummy get hard and big and shiny like a hazelnut. Amongst all the terror and mourning of the world, I sleep like a princess, beside you in a dream that I am a cockroach, a raccoon, a rat. I don't care really. If it's okay to have a child, I just want to see you and me united in the body of someone new, and when my belly rises like a strong and vicious army, I will squeeze my big breasts and squirt my poison milk all over the world. Just look at it. It's beautiful if you try.
This is Carlos reading A Cool Million.
Imagine waiting all your life for David Lynch. Imagine working in a cafe all the time just waiting for David Lynch. Imagine making all those eggs, sunny side up and over easy, and serving all those pancakes, and pouring all that coffee, all the time just waiting for David Lynch. Imagine smiling hard at everyone, but especially at black people, so they know you aren't racist. And especially at people who look like they could possibly know David Lynch, or maybe could have worked with him on a film or two. Or perhaps could be a casting agent for him. Imagine waiting, just waiting for one chance out between two worlds, and going home every night and watching a movie and knowing all the lines and mouthing, "Where's my dream?" And wanting to be Sandy or Dorothy or Audrey or Donna or Laura, and going to bed at night and lying there between sleep, imagining making coffee for David Lynch, being ever so careful, really wanting to make a damn fine cup of coffee, and then waiting for him to drink his coffee, hanging close in case he needs a piece of pie or a griddle cake or something else, all the while wondering when he's going to ask you. Just when is he going to walk up to the counter and say, his voice so unreal and deeply familiar and shocking, "Hey kid, do you want to be in a movie?"
This is Lily reading Still Life.
On the high street, there is a shop that sells headstones and the coloured glass beads to put on graves. A young girl works in there. She's about my age, and all things going as they should, she won't be needing a headstone for a while. People coming in and out the shop, it's right next to the bus stop, a glass fronted, so everyone looks in while they wait for the 281. Smokes a cig and wonders at the grief. Sometimes they're very upset, other times they seem not to care that much at all. But the girl always sits behind the desk, and she looks at the computer and she orders the granite slab with "Gone but forever in our hearts" and "Mother, daughter, friend." And I don't suppose it kills her more than it kills anyone else who sits behind a desk and orders anything. More bottles of water for the cooler, boxes of biros, or those blue paper towels.
And this is me, Dorothy, reading 07984615108. I wonder if you know that every time you don't pick up the phone, we think you might be dead, and that we hang on to the sound of a dial tone like it was the cord of a light that would save you if only we could pull it. Though we know full well by now that no one can do that but you, and even if you stood fully lit and neon under 150 watts before a mirror, and even if you noticed then that you were thinner, older, sadder, meaner, and even if you saw that in fact you were dying, still you might well turn away from that unlovely face, its shadows far too deep for any type of canned light to fill. And we know that however tight we hold on to the whites of your eyes, the somewhat familiar sound of your voice, and your continued ability to charge your phone, we are gripping onto an ocean, the tides of which push and pull with the strength of something old and clawing. You are in a place we cannot go, but at least in that place, still, there is a ringing.
This is Kate reading Crayola Pussies.
A man I work with, his name is Anbarasan, Hindu meaning king of love, though he says to call him Andy. Andy has P-O-R-N tattooed across his knuckles in big black capitals, classic script. A a tribute to the hands that hold him tight while he watches nasty nymphos and internal damnation. He's a maniac, diagnosed schizophrenic, with voices that tell him, fuck, come, ha, sucking bitch. And yesterday he told me I was beautiful and sexy. Tight, young cunt, hungry for cum. He doesn't often have sex and doesn't even wank most of the time, just watches through the diaphanous curtains of opioid medication. The mechanistic back and forth reminds him of when he was a concrete breaker. I could hold the Kango all day long, he says, and it pounds the pavement 1,500 times a minute. I dare you not to come. Then he got tinnitus, carpal tunnel, and after that the voices. He comes here every Friday now and draws vaginas. He's done hundreds of them in coloured pencil, pink and blue and purple ones. They look like huge lactating flowers. Look, he says, holding a big sheet of paper up in front of his face with a drawing of an A3 vagina in close-up. He worked at it from a screenshot of a hardcore film called Evil Pink 3, using the Crayola salmon shade, along with madder red, piggy pink, and a big old dip of ruby. I'd like to crawl inside of there, he said. Crawl inside of there and drown.
This is Natalie, reading Apparently Irreversible Succession.
Days are not very long, really hardly enough time to get anything done. Once you've got out of bed and washed and eaten and drank tea, and if you like to make love like I do, in the morning time, then you'll find even less of the day remains. Though it's off to a good start at least, but this one day, the day that you left, was not a short day. That day did things to time that I won't ever understand. Seconds were stretched on the rack until they hung from the hands of the clock. Mutilated and long minutes slid down the wall like plasticine, and you could cling on to the hours and ride them like donkeys. Tired and lame as the hands moved round slowly, so slowly that you had time to see. The pause between the in and the out breath, and your eyes were closed for hours. When you blinked until I wasn't sure if you would ever open them again.
This is Gabby, reading For Indy.
I went to bed at 9 p.m. That's the kind of time I like to go. There's nothing to do once you've eaten dinner and EastEnders is finished. And anyway, I'm tired. I'm bummed by 9 p.m. I wake up at 8 a.m. on a good day, which is still a lot of sleep. But this one day, I woke up to a heavy kind of feeling, rolled over and looked at my phone. It was 4 p.m. in the afternoon, which meant I'd been sleeping for 19 hours. For breakfast, if breakfast is the first thing you eat after waking, I had some bran flakes and tea, but I couldn't enjoy it. The smell of late afternoon was disturbing. Next door were already eating chicken. My worker says I sleep too much and should be more active. It's no way to live, she says, sleeping through life like a cat. But who are we to judge them? Purring softly by the radiator and my dreams are good. In them I eat and smile, meat and pastries. And I told her, it saves you money waking up at 4 p.m. I hardly spend a penny these days and my worries are few.
This is Marty reading with pick up and drop off.
I sit on my balcony and watch the guy across the street make up his morning pipe. I see him most mornings as I drink my coffee. His eyes pinball around the street. He's peeking through the rubbish bags and has an iron lathe at his feet. He looks at me, more than 6 feet up on my balcony, and many fortunes apart. I smile, my cheeks rise, like two small children on Christmas morning. And quickly, I feel rotten. What can my smile possibly say? From up here, with my coffee, my books, debt on credit, laid upon my lap. I think of the tourists that wave their white palms facing outwards, touring the favelas in a jeep. Because of the damned don't sit beneath their balcony, they must find them elsewhere and be sure that they will leave their diamonds in the safety deposit box and keep their blessed souls intact.
This is Oriana, reading The Train to Glasgow in June.
You talk to me about ordinary things, then you choose you like to buy, how little rain we have had, and what colour should you paint the walls. But did you see the horses? Eight of them moving through a buttercup field in a sunset, in the spring, with their heads bowed low. And you ask me how I want my potatoes tonight, mashed or boiled. But did you see the horses? When they were running so alone against the seed-filled sky. The horses, did you see?
This is Mohammed, reading One Red, One Blue.
Yesterday in Walthamstow Central, I watched a man on the street. I was just going by and he seemed to be saying something. I watched as he shaped these fingers into a gun and brought them to his temple. He made the shape of a pow, or was it a bang, with his mouth before he pulled the trigger, blasting his head over his left shoulder with plaudible strength and speed. He was dead for a second before he lifted his neck and the fingers came up and he did it again. I saw him do it three times before I went down the escalator. He was dead when my eyes went below ground, but I'm sure he's up again now. Bang, bang, pow.
This is Sam, reading Borth Beach.
On Borth Beach, the rain holds us closer than we can each other. And all this was so easy once. Now December waves hit our hearts like skipping stones. Bang, bang, bang. And the ripple outwards. I pick up driftwood, tripping on the lightness of it. Like a step onto a broken escalator. And you're saying, I love you, but the wind picks it up like a badly fitted wig. And it takes off into the ocean, where it settles like guano on some lonely crag. A stinking white stain, half sacred, half profane, like cunt. Fuck, Jesus. I look over the waves and wonder if I'll ever meet the horizon. Watch the sky and the sea squaring up like two shades of blue on a page. But you want to leave. It isn't like it used to be, is it? Your flat eyes wane on concrete. And I know we won't walk the distance. It all ends here, on these pebbles for tarmac. It all ends now, on Borth Beach.
This is another Sam, reading Untitled.
The sky is the colour of angel delight if they made a blueberry flavour. And your cheeks are like the buttocks of a particularly sweet cherub. All this pink and blue and the low thin sunlight wells me up. It's getting better all the time. I can't believe it. This bloody unbelieving world brims with faith like the frothing head of a pint. I've got happiness here, running down my fingers. My cup runneth over, Lord, my cup runneth over. And who knows where it will end, babe, it's for us. And remember, this is our ocean. We will float on it, like ice cream scoops atop a glass of cola. The dessert-coloured sky above. knows only our names.
This is Imogen reading Marshalsea Road.
Marshalsea Road. From London Bridge to Elephant, the lights are either all green or all red. Today they were all green as I sped down the bridge, past two black taxis and under your name. The road rolled beneath me like a sweetheart, baked tarmac after the rain. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. I overtook the 35, left the 133 for dust. The sun came out at Borough and I rode on, one-handed and in love. And all those people in the market didn't matter. I laughed without bitterness at their terrible mistakes. Speeding past, I was going, going, left on Marshalsea Road, and I was gone.